I got a long list.
Do you?
Yeah.
Well,
do you have a long list?
Why don't you let's compare lists? You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Welcome back, everybody. I'd like to officially welcome back my guest host.
Oh, my guest
co-host.
Nice. Thank you, Mr. Producer, for talking to her in the interim.
If you would notice, I said guest. I didn't say my
guest co-host.
I said guest as if it could change any week. And it might. We just got to see how it works. You know what I mean?
I'm still in the probationary period.
We're week by week.
After all these years.
Like a month to month lease.
It has been years, right?
I think it has been.
Right?
I mean, yeah, because we were recording via Teams during COVID.
Oh, yeah?
So we were still bringing the people what they want, even though we were...
Didn't seem like it was that long ago.
I know. That was been like 4 years.
But it's been a long time.
I've been doing it a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Scott, I'm trying to balance here. I've got my two phones... with the House and Senate on because they're still in session, but they're not...
Late on a Thursday.
Yeah, late. It's 1:15. Yeah, late. So right now on Thursday at 1:11 p.m., the House has gotten stuck on a resolution calling for a convention of the states for a balanced federal budget.
Yes. This is something that they passed before.
Correct. But this is a different piece of the puzzle, apparently, that they are trying to pass.
And I'm not sure. Well, so this one, I don't remember the one from a couple of years ago, but one presumably is to limit our conventioneers from South Carolina to the topic of a balanced federal budget only.
So that, and we're going to talk about this, but this kind of, you know, culminates after a week of extremely touchy debate in the House. And the Senate right now is discussing, they're not taking any action, but they're discussing changes to the way judges are selected in the state, changes to the Judicial Merit Selection Commission. And that is also a touchy subject.
That was not... expected, the particular bill that they're debating today was not expected to be debated. We thought that would be another that
came out of the full Senate committee. Judiciary
right.
We were kind of looking one
recently.
Way and then they turned another. So
yeah.
This bill we Very are odd. Watching because of the, you know, it could have ramifications, you know, and further down the line statewide. We just want to know.
Yeah.
We're watching it just for how people are interacting.
Yes.
Right.
The sociological
effects. Right. And
observations.
Same with this convention of the states.
Yes.
All right. So let's go back. Let's
start on Tuesday.
Let's tell a story.
Yes. I love stories.
I love stories as well.
I love story hour, Mr. Producer.
Tuesday, Scott, was just a regular day. slightly warm for February.
It was warm. It was quite pleasant. A little breezy.
But it was, you know, it was a decent floor day in both chambers.
Yeah.
Nothing out of the ordinary.
Yep.
And then Wednesday came around.
Well, Tuesday was very busy in terms of the number of meetings that we were all in
simultaneously. Absolutely.
And bills that were being pushed out of full committees for the most part.
Do you want to talk about those now and then
we'll talk about them later, but let's get...
In about four places at one time. So
yes.
I'm glad that y'all could move around quickly
and we were
get
also
to all the meetings.
While we were working an all hands issue at the same time. So
oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean you're doing 14 things at one time.
Right.
Basically you were all moms for the day.
Yes.
Joning already being one, but everybody was a mom.
Mm-hmm.
You were balancing everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or just a woman. so then we got through Tuesday. Great. We got everything we wanted on Tuesday.
Yes.
All of our bills moved and all that was fantastic. Wednesday, less bills in committee and subcommittee because the House spent from 10 a.m. until after 5.
Yeah.
Without a break.
Yes.
Debating the House version of the bill that creates the Executive Office of Health and Policy. So yes. The Senate has passed their version, sent it over to the House.
Yep.
And the House is trying, or they did, they gave it third reading today, but they debated the bill yesterday, Wednesday, on second reading, and it got very, very testy.
And remember, remember this is the bill that is taking the health-related portions of DHEC,
right,
putting them under one umbrella, under one executive office that would be under the governor's purview. The governor would appoint the director of this Executive Office of Health and Policy and, you know, be accountable to the governor rather than to a board of directors like we have with DHEC now,
right,
that is appointed by some by the, I think the some by the
like
governor,
the delegation,
some by the
and, yep.
General Assembly.
Yep.
So really no one individual is accountable for things that happen within the agency.
Right.
And so, this is all being done in the name of easier access to the services, efficiency, presumably, although there was a lot of disagreement about whether that is really going to take place, since the bill does not require the layoff or elimination of jobs
right.
until after an evaluation period, when this new director would come in and say, okay, after my evaluation of this new agency, I've determined that we need to get rid of X or keep these number of jobs or whatever. So that's the merit, sort of the merits of the, or the idea behind the bill.
So we've talked about this on the pod before, but let's go back like a month.
Mm-hmm.
There was an exchange between two House members, both Republicans, one Freedom Caucus, one Republican Caucus, that really kind of just kind of ramped up the tension a little bit between the two caucuses.
Yes.
Yesterday, that tension was increased because of the back and forth over a question, over an amendment to...
One of several, one of many,
4927.
Yeah.
Over an amendment. And it got to the point where Speaker Smith had to intervene several times to remind House members, these are adults, everyone, to maintain decorum.
Yes.
And that is, in fact, a House rule that you have to be nice to one another.
So essentially what the Freedom Caucus was doing was putting up a number of amendments that would seek to limit potentially the authority of the director, especially in emergency health situations.
Right.
COVID. It's all related to COVID.
Everything has to do with COVID.
It goes
COVID.
Back to COVID and what some people perceive as the infringement upon people's rights. We can argue the merits of whether that took place or not during the COVID. But they want to ensure in their minds that this, as they called it, this czar...
Right,
which is
czar.
Not really called. It's not. No. That's not what it's called. But they call it derisively, the health czar.
Right.
Would not have this unilateral authority to impose his or her will by way of some emergency health proclamation on the residents of the state. The assurance by the majority of the Republicans, the Republican caucus, that no, this person is accountable to the governor. If something happens, then the governor can remove this person. And then this notion of trying to exempt sheriffs, county sheriffs, from being required to help the director ensure that any sort of health emergency measures are not enforced if that sheriff decides not to.
Correct.
Because the argument being that sheriffs are the ultimate safeguard against tyranny because their authority is found in, you know, long
elected office
time and, law and elected office. this elite, this dependence on the sheriff as the ultimate protector and of the Constitution and against tyranny is it echoes some really, really far right extremist rhetoric that you hear from the sovereign citizen movement.
Okay.
So it's, and go talk to any law enforcement officer about their encounters with sovereign citizens and their reliance on sheriffs as the, as like totally above the law mm-hmm. and the arbiters and judge and whatever of the law. And I'm not saying this in any, portraying this in any judgment, please understand. I'm just telling you that this is the kind of things that you hear.
Yeah.
Because we've done trainings.
Correct.
Over the years on the sovereign citizen movement so that law enforcement and municipal employees and elected officials understand who these people are and the tactics that they use to try right. and not obey the law.
Right. And mostly it's paying taxes, right? Like
it's related to paying taxes, okay. Having your car registered with the state, having proper tags on your car. Okay. They use the levers of government to try and drown you in paper and mm-hmm. frivolous lawsuits. So there's a lot of tactics that that movement uses over the years. And to hear that kind of stuff seeping into debate in the General Assembly is interesting mm-hmm. and shows the direction in which I think some of our members are moving with the way they're thinking about government. So it's
especially the way the electorate is also moving. Like if the people that are sending these people to the state house,
it's very anarchistic. Mm-hmm. Is that a word, Mr. Producer? It's very,
it sounds about right.
It's chaotic and it's, I don't know, me personally, it's disturbing to hear that kind of talk being injected into our debate at the state house, but
it's that's pretty sus, that's right?
It's sus. Thank you, David Ibragimov, yes. for the cheat sheet on the Young's language.
Y'all are all welcome.
It was in the debate yesterday over the health policy. It's a part of the debate today over yes. this constitutional convention
resolution
mm-hmm. that's being considered in the House. They're bringing that up again today.
Yeah.
So, it's all kind of coming. It's all those arguments are going back to this odd place. So, and as a result, of course, I think the whole point of this part of the show, the result is that it is continuing to build acrimony amongst the Freedom Caucus yes. and the Republicans.
And the Democrats to some measure. I mean,
Democrats are getting in there and mixing it up.
Yeah,
too.
Today yeah, there so. There was a Democrat House member who was speaking at the well and a Freedom Caucus Republican asked to ask yes. a question and the House member denied.
Yeah, she refused to
answer
question.
And it's her choice if
yeah.
she wants to do it, but she denied, answering that question. And then, after all that on Wednesday, long, drawn out, very accusatory, there was an article in the state paper, the state newspaper Thursday today, mm-hmm. that really outlines the Freedom Caucus. And it really outlines kind of where they've been and what the core of the fight is,
yes.
which is running people against incumbents.
Yes.
Which is finding candidates to run against seated House members of your same party.
Nothing in that article was new to us.
Correct.
But if you are unfamiliar with this dynamic in the General Assembly, if you're new to this show and you've not heard us talk about this for the last however long, go read that article in the state newspaper today. But it's a long article.
It's very long. But it's very well written.
It's very well written, and it is an excellent primer on what is going on inside the world of the three now caucuses, the three parties, I'll call them, that exist in the House of Representatives: the Republican Party, the Freedom Caucus
and the Democratic
Party. So,
and all this is, we talk about all this because this is the world in which we are working.
Yeah, we're all.
This is the bubble that we are working with all of these people. Some breaking news, real quick. The Senate adjourned. They did not take any action on the judicial, but they have adjourned. So the Senate is done for the week.
Yeah, and so where we as the municipal association as municipal elected officials and staff members across the state are interested 98% in policy.
Right.
The politics that are
gets
have beset,
in the way.
Especially the House, cause a lot of problems.
Yeah, and Scott, it's the bickering and the name calling and the, you know, the yeah back and forth.
Yeah.
It makes me desperately want to see some statesmen and some stateswomanship among our legislators.
Yeah.
I want to see people who are above the fray.
Well, you know, I thought it was interesting that when Speaker Smith was calling down the group yesterday that, you know, he said something to the effect of, hey, you know, we don't want politics to inject itself. We don't want to, you know,
it's
we
too
don't,
late for that.
We don't want politics to be a part of the problem here and that kind of, I'm like, I think that ship sailed.
Yeah, really.
I mean,
politics has been, once the Freedom Caucus was formed.
That's why we are where we are right now.
And then House Republican Caucus laid down the gauntlet of the, you know, the form that they had to fill out.
Yeah, the loyalty pledge.
And then they officially formed this caucus because they were no longer a part of the House Republican Caucus.
Right.
That's all about politics.
Yeah.
Right? That's not about policy. That's about politics.
That horse is long gone and ain't coming back.
But also compounding all of that is the election year politics.
Yeah.
That is, you know, fueling this fire. So to all our listener, Scott and I sit, our offices are next to each other. Scott is a former firefighter. So whenever we hear a fire truck coming down Gervais Street or Bull Street, I holler at Scott and say, all right, I got a fire truck. We try to figure out which one it is, one of our city fire trucks. And Scott tells me where they're going.
And I'm supposed to instinctively know without a radio where they're going and what kind of a call they're answering.
100%. So. I expect it every single time. And I believe you.
I mean, you can kind of tell how urgent that call is based on the behavior of the fire truck. As if it's, you know, some sentient being that
right, but can, you know it and you realize it. Anyway, we've hollered a lot back and forth over the last several days, and Joni and Erica are part of the hollering also, obviously, because they're on the other side of each other. So
yeah.
There's a lot of hollering going on about how people are behaving and about
it is
how
really...
is that directly affecting our. The bills that we are advocating in favor of.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating. Casey, it's frustrating for the state.
It is. I agree. It's embarrassing.
It's frustrating for our state and our body politic. And, you know, that's why we as municipal officials, city council members, mayors, y'all are leading the charge, leading the way on with regard to the civility campaign and trying to... demonstrate,
show them how it's done.
Demonstrate from our perspective, your perspective, how to get things done in a civilized and productive way, even if there is disagreement.
Right. There can be agreeable disagreement.
There are certainly exceptions to that sentiment.
Certainly.
Within some municipal councils and county councils across the state, but by and large, I think city officials are, town officials are acting the way that we all would hope that they would, and getting things done for their residents.
Speaking of coming together and trying to compromise, the conference committee on 3594, the permitless carry,
yep,
constitutional carry legislation, they met on Tuesday afternoon after everybody adjourned.
Mm-hmm.
They did not take any action on the bill, but they agreed that they would work on it and work on a compromise and try to make everyone kind of happy.
I didn't hear anything dismissed out of hand when they were kind of looking at the differences in the two bills.
Right.
Nobody said, you know, by golly, we're putting our foot down and that's, you know, we're not going to compromise on that. I think the conference committee understands that if they all six want to get something out, then they're going to have to, gonna have to give. And
the conferees are representatives, Micah Caskey from Lexington, Bobby Cox, who's actually the primary sponsor of the bill from Greenville, and Justin Bamberg from Bamberg. And then the senators are Shane Massey from Edgefield, Brad Hutto from Orangeburg, and Shane Martin from Pauline.
Yeah.
So that's they are going to meet again at the call of the chair. They have not set another date yet, but we know that they're working on it. And
yeah, Bobby Cox and Shane Martin are the two
biggest
advocates for the permitless carry bill.
It makes
sense that they're on the conference committee.
I would be safe to say I believe that they just want a clean, straight up carry.
And as big of advocates as the two of them are for the concept, I don't think that they are so strident that they are going to risk sinking their chances of getting a law passed this year by refusing on some give somewhere. We'll see how that goes.
So we talked a little bit about the House. The House is still in session, and they're still on this constitutional convention. Here is an example of how something like this gets in the way of what we are working on.
I know where you're going.
House Bill 4552, which is the military TIF bill that the city of North Charleston has been working on with Erica Wright in our office. That bill got out of full committee this week, and it is on the calendar. This morning, it's on the uncontested calendar. And yes, per the rules, there is a limited amount of time that the House can stay on the uncontested calendar.
Right. And they time it.
There's a timer. Yeah. Charles Reed, who's the clerk of the House, he has multiple timers going that on his desk that show the different times of the people can speak. And,
you know, they ought to really have a camera on that. So that ETV, if you're listening, put a camera on those timers.
There's no way that they're going to time.
Kind of like at a football game or basketball game, you know, you've got the clock. You've got the pitch timer. Going. Yeah. So let's see those on the broadcast.
So they were going through the uncontested calendar today. They got to the military TIF bill. Representative Joe Bustos got up and explained, along with Chairwoman Celeste Davis, by his side, started to explain the bill. And then there was somebody in the House that raised the 24-hour point, which means the bill has not been on the calendar for 24 hours.
Right.
Valid point. Point is sustained.
Several others in front had been 24-hour pointed.
Right.
So that was routine. It's no big deal. Totally legit. Yeah.
And then I don't know who made the motion, but they moved to waive the printing. That means
it was Chris Hart.
They are waiving
Chris Hart from Columbia.
They are waiving the 24-hour rule so that they can immediately get to that legislation. So they, you know, you have to have a roll call. They had the roll call, and they in fact approved just doing away with the 24-hour point on that bill.
Yeah, it was overwhelming.
And going ahead and debating it, and right at that time, the time in the uncontested calendar ran out.
Right.
So they moved on with the rest of the calendar. And this resolution is at the bottom of the calendar.
This constitutional convention resolution.
And they are still going on about it at 1:30, whereas, you know, if we did not have this on the calendar, they could have gone back to the very beginning of the calendar and gone through.
And gotten back to it. To the military TIF.
That is a beautiful example of how politics does in fact get in the way of good policy.
Because the military TIF bill is an easy bill. It's easy to understand. Bill. It's an easy fix. It's not controversial.
No.
Boy, it would have taken
overwhelmingly
five
supported.
Minutes for yeah. them to yeah. explain it, answer, ask questions, and then pass it out. But that's not going to happen. Have to wait until at least Tuesday before, probably.
Right.
Because I can't see that they're going to can't imagine they're going to recur to the morning hour and
right go and, back start and start over. They might to read, but they may not get back on the calendar.
Right,
you know,
right. It's Thursday.
So other things, Scott, that are moving around that we are working on: the abandoned buildings, the Revitalization Act tax credit. That got out of full finance committee.
Flew out.
I must say, the full Senate Finance Committee on Tuesday was run and presided over by Chairman Senator Harvey Peeler like a well-oiled machine.
Yes.
He had that committee on lockdown.
Yes.
Those bills were coming out. They were debating, approving, moving on.
Harvey was making it rain.
So that bill came out. So that's on the calendar. Could have been taken up today, but it was in the absence of Senator Shane Martin, who always is a staunch rule follower, Senator Tom Corbin, who feels like he needs a firearm to shoot bars when he goes to his mailbox.
Yes.
He raised the 24-hour rule, which there's also one in the Senate, to a long list of bills. This was one of them.
Yeah.
It'll be back on there on Tuesday.
Yes.
So no big deal on that one. And then also coming out of full finance with great speed is Senate Bill 1017, which was the property tax.
We talked about that last week.
Right. Yep. We've gone through that bill. That bill came out. That was also a casualty of Senator Corbin's 24-hour point. Just following the rules.
Yeah.
Just following the rules. That will be back on the calendar on Tuesday for debate.
Yeah.
And let me give you this caveat real quick. The Senate, speaking of debating these bills, as long as these bills stay uncontested, the Senate will get to them on Tuesday, likely.
Yeah.
Before they get to a special order bill that was placed on the calendar yesterday, which is the judicial merit selection reform.
Yes.
That bill is on special order. So once they get on that, they're going to keep on.
Which version of that one are we talking about? Is that the one that they've been talking about today, or is that the
1046,
one that came out?
1046. No, that was the one they took. That was not in committee.
Okay. Gotcha.
That bill came up yesterday. Senator Shane Massey put it on special order. Okay. That is Senator Greg Hembree's bill.
Is that the one he's talking about?
I can't remember.
He was talking about
that
today?
That was the one he was talking about.
Oh, he was talking on it today.
So Senate Bill 99 was the one, I believe, that came out of Senate Judiciary Committee, the one sponsored by Senator Campson.
Okay.
This bill, sponsored by Hembree and many others, was put on special order today.
But that's the one he was sort of previewing today.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Correct.
Okay.
He went through section by section.
Got it.
And talked about what his version of this reform, judicial reform, looked like.
Sure.
So that is preparing to begin debate on Tuesday. I expect this to be long because this is a...
the JMSC
bill. Yes, I expect this judicial to take a while. This is not a wham, bam,
but our two bills, 1017 and 1021, hopefully
Debated before the special order bill, right?
But I hope that no one objects to those bills.
Right.
Any one senator can object to...
That's right.
To those bills.
And that stalls it pretty solid.
And stall it and keep it from being debated right away. So
let's hope they stay clean and fresh and ready for debate on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Let's talk about liquor liability. That seems to be on the minds of a lot of our
significant movement.
Say a majority of our local elected officials.
Some actual legislation moved this week. The House Judiciary Committee pushed onto the floor after subcommittee debate in the same day.
Right.
House Bill 5066. This is a bill by Representative Jason Elliott from Greenville. He actually chaired the subcommittee.
Right. The ad hoc committee.
Was that Tuesday?
Yeah. Everything went Tuesday morning was the ad hoc committee.
Right.
They had met several times before, and then full House Judiciary was Tuesday afternoon.
So Tuesday morning in the subcommittee, Representative Elliott introduced a strike and insert amendment. And what that means is that they brought new language, struck out all of the language from the original bill, and replaced it entirely with all new language based on previous discussions and debate that they'd had in other subcommittee meetings. And all in an effort to try and reduce the premiums that businesses that serve alcohol are being charged right now for a variety of different factors that you can get from a variety of different individuals and industries. What his bill, his strike and insert amendment, and the bill now proposes to do is first set up a trust fund that would first be funded by a loan from the State Insurance Reserve Fund.
Right, the IRA.
And then be funded by a new assessment.
Like an excise tax.
An assessment on DUI, DUAC, and felony DUI charges. So when you go, when you get a speeding ticket in South Carolina, the ticket amount is the base amount, and then there between assessments and surcharges that are all state assessments and surcharges that are added on to that base amount. The surcharges and the assessments that are added on equals 107.5% of the original fine. So if I get a $100 fine on a uniform traffic ticket, I end up getting convicted for that in magistrate court or municipal court. I don't pay $100. Mm-hmm. I pay $207.50. Okay. This bill would add an additional $88 onto the fine, in addition to all these others, onto the fine for somebody who gets convicted of DUI, DUAC, or felony DUI.
What is DUAC?
DUAC is exactly the same as DUI in terms of the penalties, except the difference being the probable cause under which you were pulled over. So if a police officer observes you driving and thinks that you are driving intoxicated, then he will pull you over on suspicion of DUI. However, if he pulls you over for, not using your turn signal, that's his suspicion. That's the reason he pulled you over, and then discovers that you are intoxicated, then he charges you with DUAC, driving with unauthorized alcohol content, something like that. But they're exactly the same charges in terms of penalties and fines and all that kind of stuff. Anyway, so this trust fund would be funded with this new assessment of $88. It would also be funded, as you said, with a portion of the excise tax on alcohol.
So those who drink pay the tax.
So that
is how Jason Elliott described it.
So that businesses could then ask for the state to help it pay its premiums. Now, the idea being that if the state gets involved and starts kind of funding some of this, then that will help lower the burden on these insurance companies that are still writing these policies, and more of them will come. We'll see. One of the other things that it does is allow those businesses to reduce from $1 million of coverage that's required now, would help them reduce from $1 million potentially down to $250,000 of coverage if they do a certain number of the things that are laid out in the bill. For instance, if all of their servers get alcohol training, alcohol service training under a that would be run by DEOTIS, what's DEOTIS stand for?
The Department of Alcohol and Other Drug Abuse Services. Yeah.
DEOTIS would set up this alcohol server program. If everybody's employees participate in that, then they could reduce their premiums. If they, for every hour that they close prior to midnight, they can take off $100,000 of the required coverage down to 6 p.m.
Okay.
So that's just a couple of examples of several things that are in the bill that a business would have to do in order to potentially reduce its insurance coverage requirement from $1 million down to as low as $250,000.
Okay.
Nonprofits, special events would have to have $500,000 in coverage minimum or maximum.
Mm-hmm.
They could also reduce their premium burden or their coverage burden by doing some of these other things as well. So that bill was passed out of the full Judiciary Committee. It's on the House calendar now.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is the House's attempt to try and come up with some immediate relief. There's going to be a lot more discussion on this, certainly on the floor, when they get to it. Meantime, over in the Senate, the Senate Judiciary Subcommittee that's met 3 times now, 4 times, 5 times, continues to talk about potential solutions for the premium problem. But as I've said the last couple of times we talked about it on the Senate side, the focus is on making insurance companies justify to the Department of Insurance the premiums that they are charging businesses. The idea being that a restaurant that, you know, isn't a $1 Jell-O shots bar should be charged a premium based on the risk that it poses, as opposed to the higher risk of the college bar that sells $1 shots, right?
Both are fabulous.
And that's, you know, I think that's fair, mm-hmm. because that's how most of our other insurance is priced,
right.
is based on the
right.
risk that that individual or that business poses for losses. I will say that the Department of Insurance Director Michael Wise was, for lack of a better term, on the witness stand in front of Senator Dick Harpootlian from Richland, from Columbia.
That was uncomfortable.
Yeah, because they were kind of talking across each other and over. They were not communicating.
Right. Correct.
The questions that Senator Harpootlian was asking of Director Wise, he didn't think he was getting sufficient answers, and you know, Director Wise did not want to overstep his bounds as the director of a state agency and as mm-hmm. a member of the governor's
That's
cabinet
right.
and advocate necessarily for certain things that Senator Harpootlian wanted him to. So it was tough, but Director Wise made it through, and I know he'll be back in front of that subcommittee again.
Because they had three bills on that agenda. They passed one out, which creates the study committee, and then they still have
a study committee to study it
and
further.
And then they've got two other bills on the agenda.
So where the House Judiciary Committee, you know, some would argue that this was a hasty bill that they pushed out. At least in my view, at least they're
taking something.
They're taking action. They're not just talking it to death. They recognize the problem and are willing to take a shot at it.
We've heard from a lot of mayors that are concerned about this issue because of their businesses that are being shut down in their downtowns.
As they should be. And, of course, you know, there were advocates for victims' advocates testified in the Senate subcommittee.
Right.
Entirely justified, entirely empathetic in wanting to make sure that victims are whole. But this thing is a bigger issue than bars, restaurants, insurance companies. It also spills over to individuals and the choices that they make to get behind the wheel and drive while they're intoxicated and potentially harming others. So that is a huge elephant in the room that nobody at this point seems to have a concrete solution for.
Okay.
It's just, as Marty Huggins would say, it's a mess. So, how about that for a nice downer?
End
of the conversation.
Yeah. Have a good weekend.
Hey,
everybody.
That's what I do. It's me.
Anything else that you need to touch on? The House is still going. I've got it on my phone sitting here while we're in the studio. And they're still talking about this resolution. So that could go on. Who knows? Until they decide to just leave it in interrupted debate and go home and kind of take a break and catch their breath and, you know, kind of reset, as I would tell
everybody needs to do.
Everybody kind of just...
Everybody in the House needs the weekend.
Take a deep breath and let's reset.
They're going to furlough again, aren't they? When are they furloughing again?
They're not furloughing until around Easter.
Do we know, has the Senate decided whether or not it's going to furlough?
They have not.
Okay, but there's rumors, there's talk on the street.
Who knows? The House is definitely furloughing the week after Easter.
Okay.
So we'll...
I thought it was the week before.
We will look at... I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe it is the week
before.
It's
the week before.
Are you sure?
Yeah. That's what y'all told me.
All right. Well,
I'm wrong.
I'll check my calendar.
My memory is faulty.
But we need a moment. We need a nice weekend to just step back and because I feel like, Scott, this is just building and building and building.
Listener, tell us, how many times have you heard us say this?
I know.
This
I feel it's
already
a broken record, but still, I don't think, And I keep saying, well, you know, filing starts on March 16th and that's over April 1st and that'll be nice. It's going to get worse because then everybody knows who they've got running against them. And it's going to be, you know, even more because they're going to realize that somebody's trying to get opposition to run against. And I just think it's, this session is a recipe. It's just a recipe.
Yes, and I think you're right.
And I think
and given the tensions nationally that everybody's kind of jockeying around.
Yes.
And
everybody needs to go home, realign their chakras, and just take a deep breath and calm down.
That's why I'm going to move to a cave somewhere. I just want to move to a cave. I think Dr. Slatton will go move in a cave with me.
Don't you kind of do that when you go to the property?
I try to avoid
leaving. On the weekend,
leaving.
You don't like to leave the property?
I try to avoid leaving if I can, yes. Yeah. You know, because traffic's just so terrible.
We have kids playing sports.
Don't get me started on traffic.
So our sports are, you know, that forces us. We have to. We're out and about constantly.
Don't get me on my old man traffic rants.
My sister told me the other day, you sound just like Dad, Casey. Do you realize that when you start saying, where are all these people going? I don't understand. Where are all these people going?
I almost got hit in the intersection here in front of the building yesterday. Oh. I got the light.
Let me guess. Texting.
I don't know, but as I stepped out into the street, the person who was turning right had to stop in the middle of the intersection because they did not see me.
No.
In the middle of the turning lane, I was on the white line, the white dotted white line on the lane that they were turning. I don't know if it was a man or a woman, but I stopped walking and they slammed on the brakes and I looked at them, made eye contact so that they.
Did you throw your arms up and yell?
No, I just gave them the curse word. I just gave them the side eye and continued through the intersection.
Well, good call.
Yeah.
Good call. I'm glad you didn't get hit.
That's just one of the other hazards that we have to face. Right,
walking the two blocks.
Between the texting, Casey, and the pot smoking in the cars on Gervais Street, it's a wonder we all don't get run over once a session.
Let me ask you, before we wrap this up, we've gone on so long. Let me ask you a quick triv.
All right, lay it
on
me.
You know, kids nowadays, they like to shorten everything.
And that's why I can't understand what they're saying.
So we're gonna do a little triv quish. I don't know. Scott, how many cities and towns in South Carolina are named as a new version of another community? It's kind of a trick question.
Do you have new in the name?
I never said that.
As in, like, New Ellington?
Right. That's the answer.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay.
There's only one that's a new version. New Ellington was established as a relocation of the older Ellington community.
Really?
Which was acquired as part of the Savannah River site in Aiken County in the 1960s.
Sure. Of course, that makes sense.
But Mr. Producer points out is that Newberry does not appear to be a newer version of the community of Barry.
I would guess that's probably a family name if I had to guess.
Newberry?
Newberry.
Or Ellington.
Speaking of Newberry, I got a text from your good friend Shaq Daddy, Jeff Shacker,
no
the
way.
Other day. Yes.
Shout out to Shakira.
He was he asked me a question. I can't even remember what it was. I told him, I said, we need to do lunch.
Absolutely.
Let's do lunch.
Tell him to come by and say hello.
He's really busy. I'll have to go up there and eat lunch with him.
Well, I tell you, I don't really like to say stay tuned because I don't like that phrase. Yeah. But anyway, this is only going to get, like, the drama will only unfold as the days go on and the more subjects, you know, the Senate Medical Affairs Committee just passed out the transgender medical procedure bill to the floor.
More culture
wars.
That's
one that comes right behind the judicial process. Okay. So it's, there's a lot going on and we just need you to keep listening so you'll know exactly what's happening. And be ready to, if we call you to jump in on an issue, be ready. Now is the time to remain vigilant and be ready at a moment's notice because of how things are going to start speeding up here the last couple, 2.5 months we got.
If we reached out to you on an issue that we were dealing with this week, thank you for responding.
Very much.
And carrying the message that we asked you to carry. Hey,
I mean, just slaying.
It does.
Just slaying
all
day.
We just keep working these in here, Mr. Producer.
This is awesome.
It worked. It's effective.
Absolutely.
It's absolutely effective. You don't, you don't appreciate how effective your reaching out to your legislators are when we ask you to do it in sort of a very quick fashion, but it is more effective than you'll ever know. So please
just
keep doing it.
Keep listening, and we will have more tea to spill next week on the ins and outs of the State House. Everybody have a great weekend. Go Vipers.
Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.